Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
Project Loving Myself Podcast is brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics.
We all are that lotus that needs to transcend from all of our mud so that we can be that beautiful, magnificent soul being that we really, really are. And I think it's a journey we all need to take, because deep down, all of us are magnificent. Deep down, all of us are so intelligent. Deep down, all of us are so wise and compassionate. And our journey is to master self-love so that we can master our lives, so that we can master our relationships with others, and indirectly master how and what we choose to create in our reality to generate abundance.
You're listening to Project Loving Myself Podcast, a well-being podcast that shares stories of self-love, mental fortitude, and self-discovery. Hosted by life designer and well-being coach, Sanaya Gurnamal.
Hi, I'm Sanaya Gurnamal, and this is the Project Loving Myself Podcast. Join me each week as we navigate through aha moments, new ideas, and flashes of insight from candid conversations that inspire you to get started on your own project of loving yourself. Because the most important relationship you will ever have is the relationship that you have with yourself. You matter.
This is Project Loving Myself.
Hello, peeps. Sending so much love out to all of you today. We are ending the month of February, where love was really the flavor of the month, and entering March, the month of new beginnings. And speaking of new beginnings, I was at a wedding last week, and it is so interesting to me how different love is in the era of COVID. Weddings right now are really about the two people, not their families, not their friends, not even about the wedding. It's about getting married because they want to be with each other in a time where we are all so far apart, physically and emotionally. And right now, we are all learning to love ourselves, or we will not get through this. And we got to learn to love the people we live with, or our mental health is seriously at stake. So we can't get around this. Love is the key to making life work for us. So today on episode 5, I have invited intuitive energy healer and teacher Vanya Silverton from the UK to talk to us about relationships, sensual enlightenment, and new beginnings. With clients and students from over 50 countries, she works with others to transform all aspects of their lives through a variety of different healing techniques. As a qualified nutritional therapist, Vanya incorporates natural medicine with gifted intuition and encourages all of her clients to access their own healing abilities. Yes, it's true, all of us have the ability to heal ourselves. She is trained as a medical intuitive and teaches courses on intuitive development and theta healing. Vanya is also the author of Sacred Revolution, A Woman's Path to Love, Power, and Sensual Enlightenment, which is what caught my eye for this episode. And she's also written Living Heaven, A Guide to Awaken Heaven in the Body, Mind, Heart, and Life. Now, in one of our previous episodes, Sexual Well-Being with Dr. Rika Cruz, I introduced the topic of sexuality and spirituality, exploring the connection between the two, while also talking about embracing our sexual energy. And on this episode, I look forward to taking this conversation further, perhaps even deeper, with our guest today. So welcome to the Project Loving Myself podcast, Vanya. Thank you for sharing some of your precious time with us across time zones.
Oh, thank you for having me. I very much look forward to diving deeper into love with you. It certainly is the path that I all think we need to master. So yes, I look forward to being with you on this journey today.
So Vanya, we met more than a decade ago. We were, at very different points in our lives. And since then, quite a bit has happened. right? We've had children, partners, you know, love has sort of taken center stage for, I would say, the most part of the last decade. So tell me a little bit about where you are right now in your life.
Yeah, so I am a mother to a beautiful daughter, 5 years old. That's been a journey in itself. That also, that teaches you so many new virtues of love, I can tell you that. Patience, tolerance, and to be spontaneous and things like that. I've also been in a long-term relationship for 15 years, and all the beautiful ups and downs and connections and magic moments and intimacy moments and communication moments and differences moments where we all have to let go of our egos and our own internal dramas and step deeper into the truth of who we are, but the truth of what we want for the relationship. So yes, definitely a very big journey into love. And love, you know, as a intuitive healer and teacher, love is actually the key, the energy, the frequency that I always use. It's the energy I go in to heal. It's the energy I always go in to teach with, because it's only from the perspective of love that we can really understand how to awaken into greater divine consciousness. And, you know, through that journey of teaching and being a mother and being in a relationship, you know, I hands on heart truly believe that we are all here to master love, you know, and this is our spiritual path. This really is our destination, is to master love in all situations. Not easy at times, but very rewarding when we get it.
You know, I agree with you completely. The last decade and a bit more has really been about mastering love, whether it's through my relationship with my partner or through my children. As you said, that in itself has been quite a learning experience. Mm-hmm. And I also do believe that it is love that allows us to do what we do, which is to heal and work with people. And I know that, you know, as a healer myself, as a teacher myself, I learn through my clients, I learn through my students. And sometimes sort of the lines between our personal life and our life where we're teaching and healing others sort of tends to somehow reflect or mirror each other. So I know a lot of times what I'm mastering in my own life is something I'm able to teach to my students and vice versa. So I'm sure you have some similar experiences in that regard. So I'd love to know a little bit more about that, Vanya, and also a little bit about the kind of healing that you practice, the kind of that work that you do with people, if you can get into that a little bit.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. There is this beautiful exchange, you know, when you work with someone really deeply, where you gift them with everything that you've, you know, learnt in your life, and simultaneously they also gift themselves with everything that they've learned in their life. And through that process of both of us opening up to the greater possibility of evolution, or the greater possibility of, you know, that individual moving into higher realms of their own being, you know, their own happiness, their own joy, their own vibrancy, their own intelligence. It's a really beautiful process. I think love really is the key that allows us to awaken. I think love is the key that allows people to start to access their inner wisdom and their inner healing abilities. I think love is the key that allows us to connect more to divine consciousness, so that, you know, we can have greater awakenings and things like that. So a lot of my work is focused around actually people returning back to the ability to self-love. And, you know, I do that through a variety of techniques, whether it's state healing or body work or breath work or coaching or, you know, whatever. They're all just different kinds of mediums and tools, you know, because at the end of the day, different things work differently for different people. But ultimately, what the promotion is that people need to access their own intelligence, their own wisdom, their own energy inside, which really is about them accessing their ability to love themselves, to awaken the depths of who they truly are, and let that part of them stand up stronger. And there are just so many, you know, reasons why people are unable to do that, why we are unable to step into our magnificence, why we were unable to self-love. You know, a lot of that can come from, you know, obviously childhood stuff, conditioning, genetic things, heartbreaks, tragic experience. And sometimes, you know, as much as all those things happen in our lives, we actually learn a lot from them. So it's also helping the person really understand, unlock, and learn from everything that's happened in their lives, so that they can actually become the better person, the bigger the person, the brighter person. And so we kind of, you know, I'm very much about helping the lotus transcend from the mud. You know, we all are that lotus that needs to transcend from all of our mud, so that we can be that beautiful magnificent soul being that we really, really are. And I think it's a journey we all need to take, because deep down, all of us are magnificent. Deep down, all of us are so intelligent. Deep down, all of us are so wise and compassionate. And our journey is to master self-love so that we can master our lives, so that we can master our relationships with others, and indirectly master how and what we choose to create in our reality to generate abundance. And so that's what I believe our path is.
I love how you said that. You know, at the end of the day, it comes back to the simplest of things, but yet it is something that affects every aspect of our life. Now, what do you end up using the most in your work with your clients? Is there a particular technique that you feel most comfortable with, most inclined towards? And how do you decide what's going to work or what's relevant? I do believe, you know, different things work for different people, like different strokes, right? For different folks, if that's a saying. I remember that from childhood. But the point being that I too have learned a lot of things in my journey. You know, at one point I was a workshop junkie and I wanted to learn everything. But somehow, like, there are certain tools that I end up using more than others. So I'm curious about how that works for you.
It's a really, really good question. So usually, as soon as I see the person, I watch their body language, I watch the way they talk, the type of language they use. I kind of work out, are they more of a someone who solves things through thinking or solves through things through feelings? Or so I kind of begin with that kind of assessment, and that kind of helps me to navigate easier with them. And interestingly enough, different people I work with, my language will change depending on what they need to hear or resonate with. So it's also very interesting how I change and shift to mirror them so that they can have a greater awakening. But I've really felt for me that it's been, you know, obviously I'm a trained theta healer and I train others to be theta healers. So it's been a very beautiful, powerful technique that I've used quite a lot, mainly because it allows me as the practitioner to get greater guidance and wisdom to help the person solve their problem, or to help the person answer their problems, or to help the person unlock their problems. So I've definitely used that tool a lot as my intuitive guide, because it really does allow you to get clarity and truth much quicker. But the secondary thing that I've used a lot is a lot more like body work. I'm very much about the person having the experience of them witnessing their energy changing, witnessing their healing taking place, witnessing the awakening that's happening inside of them, witnessing their own aha moments, witnessing their own wisdom flowing through. And I really try and encourage that. And there are a number of different things you can do to, you know, do that. You can get them to close their eyes, drop into their body, do some breath work. You can ask them certain questions to access that wisdom inside of them. But I very much focus on letting them have their own healing, self-healing and awakening, because it actually gives them more power to start stepping up and being in their truth, as opposed to relying on me to heal them. But what it also does is it gives them the energetic experience of having an awakening. So they will feel maybe this horrible emotion of self-hatred coming up in their heart, and it might feel dark and sticky because, you know, I try and invite all the senses to wake up. And as that releases, and then they get another awakening of their soul force moving through them, making them feel brighter, opening up their mind, their body, that's where they feel the enlightenment taking place. That's where they realize, oh, right, I'm actually at another level now. Oh, right, actually I can interact with myself in another way. Oh, wow, I'm connected to the universe and the universe is helping me to awaken. So that's kind of the process that I usually take people through, and I just find it has lasting effects, greater change for their lives. And, you know, as a practitioner, it's really beautiful to witness. There's nothing more beautiful than witnessing the person having their own awakening because they've accessed their own deep intelligence that lives within them.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think that I'm addicted to everybody else's personal growth because it definitely feeds my soul. And like you, I've learned a lot of different things, but I am also more comfortable using theta healing and more inclined towards using theta healing in my sessions. And also when I work on myself, I do find it's quicker. I find that it has the most profound, I would say, impact on my clients' lives. So I definitely, you know, I resonate with what you said. I'm curious about how theta healing has worked for you as an individual. Like, how have you used theta healing in your own life, Vanya, yeah, to maybe make changes or for your personal growth?
Mm-hmm. Theta healing has been gold in my life. I swear, if theta healing didn't cross my path, I would be a very anxious, making bad decisions for my life, low self-esteem, probably trapped in my eating disorder still. It literally saved my life. I have no other way of saying that to you, but it actually saved my life. I come from a very crazy childhood. I don't need to go into all the details of how crazy it was. And if you've had a crazy, crazy, crazy childhood, you'll get what I'm talking about.
But I'm sure we have people in, you know, listening in right now who are just like, yep, that's me, crazy childhood, you know, everyone can relate to that.
Yeah, totally. The crazy mom, the crazy dad, the crazy scenarios, you know, anyway, I kind of turned 20 and I was a mess. I felt broken inside. I felt heartbroken. I felt very lost, very confused. I had a lot of mental anxiety, a lot of body anxiety. And I just remember, you know, one day making this prayer to the universe and going, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what to do. Please, I just want a connection to the divine. And I just want to be able to heal my life. And I wanted some intuition. I don't know why I added that one in. But anyway, literally theta healing came 2 weeks later, you know, and I went to a practitioner. I was like, oh my God, I want to do what she does. And I did all the courses and all the teacher training like within 2 years. And it saved my life. It recorrected the way I thought. It healed parts of me that were so broken and damaged. It brought energy back to my life that I knew on a very, very deep level, but I had so much mud on top of me that I couldn't access it. So just on that personal level of healing my childhood or healing that original story, it's been gold. And then the next part where theta healing has been really helpful is, you know, we kind of go through this process, don't we, of having to heal ourselves first. And then through healing, we kind of discover ourselves. And then through discovering, then we're like, oh, this is what I need to create in the world. You know, whether it's creating a school, a podcast, for me, a book, a retreat or whatever. And it's like, okay, how can I use this beautiful gift? Because theta healing gives this gift of intuition and awakening and divine guidance. How can I use this greater divine guidance? How can the divine energy be used through me so that I can create greater things? So that's been kind of, I guess, where it's kind of come to now. Yes, there are still things I need to heal. Yes, there's still things I need to evolve out of. That's always going to be there. But now it's letting that, you know, because I feel much more clearer inside, it's letting that greater divine force move through me to create and do bigger, beautiful work that can help more people awaken. So that's where it's taken me. And yeah, there's just been points where I've had to use it. Like, you know, it's a great manifest. I've used it to manifest a house. I've used it to manifest some work. I've used it to unlock some dramas in my relationship with my husband, who, because, you know, obviously by osmosis, you know, I've obviously in the theta journey, he hasn't learned it, but just through osmosis, him connecting to me, he now digs on me, or he now goes, oh wow, you've got some really interesting energy in your aura. He doesn't even know that it's because he's actually receiving information and connecting, but it's just permeated through the household and the family. And that's really beautiful, because that means we can both grow and evolve. So yeah, it's been gold.
That's amazing. It sounds amazing. And, you know, I really hear you when you say theta healing saved my life, because I'm not even kidding. Just, yeah, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago, I was a guest on a podcast or something. I can't remember what it was, but I remember saying those exact words. I was like, yeah, theta healing literally saved my life. And if it weren't for that, you know, I don't know where I would be. I mean, I'm sure I would have been on the path, but I just think that I would be way behind compared to where I am today. So I completely, you know, I hear you, I feel you. I think a lot of us who are theta healers, we can definitely, you know, hear a bit of ourselves in each other's personal journey.
Yeah.
Now, I know in the UK, theta healing has actually taken off really well. There are a lot of different students. I know that you work with an organization also that has a lot of different things and activities running with theta healing. So how do people in the UK respond to theta healing? How has it been in terms of teaching and sharing Theta Healing, and even the other healing that you do for the UK?
I think it's definitely been an evolution. Like when I first kind of started out, you know, over 10 years ago now, I can't believe it's been that long. You know, British people are quite reserved. So it was always their secret thing to do, or they went to the healer, or they went to learn, but they never told anyone because it was their private thing. No one should know that they're healing or they've got stuff to heal from. So that was kind of the original energy that I kind of went in with people in the UK. But obviously, you know, over 10 years, people evolve, communities evolve, societies evolve, culture evolves. And now it's like everyone's doing something. Either everyone's learning NLP or coaching or theta healing. Everyone's choosing to empower themselves. Everyone's choosing to kind of wake up their limited beliefs. And so you get now students when I teach them, oh, yeah, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I just went to Tony Robbins, or I just read this book. Right? And so there's that much more of a like, wow, I'm embracing this whole journey of transformation and change. And I'm willing to be guided, and I'm willing to work on myself and heal myself so that I can better myself. And I think that's been the biggest change, which is really beautiful, because it means then as the teacher, as the practitioner, you can give them more. You can give them more things to shift and change and evolve. You can open them up in other ways to create their lives, or take charge of their lives and stuff like that. So that's really been the evolution. So there's been a very, very big change over here in the last 10 years, definitely. And it's exciting to see what the next 10 years will bring.
You know, we were just chatting before we started the podcast about how in the Philippines that started to happen quite a bit recently. My center has been around here for maybe 8 years at this point, my healing center, but I've really seen a lot of shift in the last couple of years. And I think even, you know, the pandemic and everything being more digital and online has really opened up the Philippines for a lot more of this energy of healing and well-being coming in. What's also interesting is we have a huge population of overseas Filipino workers. So really, I used to get a lot of clients who would be, you know, visiting family. They work elsewhere, but they were home for a short period, and they would always come by to the healing center. But, you know, they're just there for a couple of weeks or so on, you know. So it was interesting that after the pandemic, they started to connect with us on a more regular basis because everything was online. And it was just so amazing to see how in a short amount of time, it has kind of really sped up people's personal growth or spiritual growth, and suddenly well-being all over the world. I'm sure you can see that happening as well, has become almost a necessity. It's not a luxury anymore. It's kind of like everyone's doing something because we've all had to realize how important it is. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit, Fania, because as I mentioned to you, I'm really interested in what you have to say about relationships and love, and getting a little bit deeper into your book. So as we discussed earlier, like relationships and love seems to be sort of your area of the greatest growth, or your area of perhaps the most significant moments and lessons in your life. And I know I read in one of the articles that you went through a separation in your marriage. And at one point you were about to tell your husband that you wanted to separate for good. So tell me a little bit about what happened there and how that sparked perhaps, I'm sure, a lot of personal growth for you in the area of love and relationships.
Yeah, totally. Well, we've been together since we've been very young, me and my husband. I think he's 3 years younger. So he was 23, I was 25. And just being together so young, you don't know who you are. You don't know what you want. You don't know. You just don't know. And then we kind of went on this journey together very young. And then, you know, I went on my healing journey, and I healed and I shifted and I transformed and I awakened, and I became a very different person to the person I was that I originally started the marriage in. And, you know, oftentimes we get caught in old dynamic systems because that's just the way it's always functioned, and we just kind of play that out. And then as the years went on and progressed, I felt more and more disconnected in the relationship. and feeling like he wasn't able to understand the new me or reach me. I wasn't able to communicate that back, you know, and all that. And I'm sure he went on a lot of growth as well in his own individual ways, because just the fact of going through your 20s and 30s and things like that. And so there was that element that was going on. And then I literally had this amazing awakening in the rainforest. I went back home to Australia, which is where I'm from, and I went back to this most raw, natural rainforest, and I felt my sexual energy really wake up inside of me. I had this massive kundalini awakening. My whole heart opened up, my mind opened up. I literally felt the whole universe making love to me. And in that awakening, I elevated even more inside my own self. And I was like, oh, wow, this is who I am. I feel so deeply in love with myself, because when the sexual energy becomes a sacred force, it changes a lot of things inside yourself, because it starts to transcend up. And I was like, wow, I'm my own soulmate. Oh, my God, I'm this amazing enlightened woman. And I literally felt, how could I be with this mortal man who didn't understand who I was anymore? I have to leave the relationship, yeah? And on one level, you know, you come to that place because you're like, right, it's easier to dispose of somebody than for it to try and find the way for it to grow, or it's easier to let go than try and work out the relationship. You know, we just that was the place I came to. And
I just want to interject, because I think this is something really important that you are talking about. I think a lot of people, they have this kind of point in the relationship where there is a disconnect.
Yeah.
Right. And it usually happens when one person has grown in one direction while the other person has either grown in a different direction or has not grown with the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I actually have talked to a lot of clients or students who sometimes are even afraid of going on their own sort of awakening journey because of the fear that they're going to have to leave their partner behind, or it's going to create, you know, conflict or separation or distance in the relationship. So that's one point I just wanted to highlight. And the second point was that I think that sometimes also when people get very empowered very quickly, they go through this kind of evolution, awakening, we get kind of excited about it and sort of carried away with that energy. And then we think that the easiest way or the right way is just to walk away from everything we know, because like you said, it's so much harder to actually work things out around us. And I think a lot of us have that attitude with family, right? We're just kind of like, oh, look, I've gone through my own healing. I've gone through my empowerment journey, and now I know who I am. But you know what? My family, they're kind of like way back there. And I kind of wash my hands clean of that. And I really think this is a good sort of sharing point, because I think you stopped at that point from kind of getting caught up in that. And you kind of, you know, took that step back, which of course I want to know more about. But I just really wanted to highlight that this is something that a lot of people are grappling with. And for anyone who is going through the same thing, you know, you're not alone. There's a lot of people going through this, and, you know, have a little bit more patience. And you know, definitely I think Vanya's journey, your journey will tell us a lot about how you dealt with that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally agree. We do come to, and that's the thing about growth, you know, in relationships, we've got to become interdependent, you know, not independent, not codependent, but interdependent, where you honor your own individuality. You also honor the other person's individuality, but at the same time, you learn to grow together in your own individuality in as well, you know, and that's a big journey in itself sometimes. And we don't do that. Sometimes we just get so focused on it, like you said, our own independence, our own empowerment, our own awakening, our own sense of this is who I am now, that we can actually really forget about those other people that are actually meant to be in our lives, you know, meant to be in our lives. So as the story goes, so I got to that point, right? Ta-da, you know, and then, and you'll read more about it in my book, Sacred Revolution, which is here if you're seeing the video. But 2 weeks later, I ended up falling pregnant.
And
because, right, and I was ready, because on a very deep level, me and my husband are meant to be together. And I'm meant to be with him, and I'm meant to awaken and evolve with him. And the universe was like, that's it, you're having a baby now. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, now I'm pregnant. Now I can't be this amazing, extraordinary, independent person because now I'm pregnant with the baby. And it made me face the relationship in a whole new way. And it was tough.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know what? It's not my plan at the end of the day. There's something bigger going on all the time. And my daughter needed to exist.
Every time.
Yeah, every time. And I remember laughing with the universe. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I got to this point of being like, oh, I'm so enlightened and awakened. I don't need you anymore. And now look, I've got a child. And now I definitely need you because I need you to be the father and protect us and be the safety. And so it was almost like the universe forced us, right? Because I can be dynamic and dramatic sometimes and be like, you know, halas, you know, that's it. You know, that's part of who I am, you know. But the universe was like, no, you're going to work this out. You're going to maintain this awakened position, and you're going to learn how to communicate it, elevate it, share your truth, heal through your own issues, and you're going to help awaken and evolve this relationship. And, you know, it's taken about 5 years for us to get to this amazing place together. But through that process, my goodness me, haven't we learned communication, authentic relating? Haven't we learned to be independent? Haven't we learned to honor the other person's truth? Haven't we learned to be, you know, more spontaneous, more intimate? Haven't we learned to create the most amazing relationship where I can be awakened in an awakened relationship? Do you know? And that's what's so beautiful. It was a lot of hard work. There was ups and downs. There was a few other little moments of being together and no, and you know, all that stuff that happened.
Drama.
But to be able to see through it, both of us to be able to see through it, and both of us to be able to call each other out and go, actually, you know, both of us to go, all right, I'm going to swallow my pride here. Both of us to go, all right, let's have some time out and then come back and communicate. So, you know, it does definitely, it was beautiful because I chose the relationship, he chose the relationship, and we chose to make it work. And
right.
And that's been the key to it all.
Do you think, Vanya, that your husband could have made a different choice? Like, do you think it would have been allowed if, because I know some people feel that they're the only one in the relationship trying to make it work and the other person's not there.
Yeah.
So in that kind of a situation, what does one do? Does one try and make it work, or do they, you know, do you really need both people at the same time to be in it for the long run?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really good, good question. I think every individual case is quite unique and different. And so obviously the solutions are going to be unique and different to them, but there has to be an element where both parties are willing to try, you know, even if one's lagging behind, even if one's decided to put up a silent wall for 2 months, even if one's stuck in their stuff and needs to go on a separate journey to heal their issues, there has to be a deeper, you know, a deeper feeling for both parties to keep choosing the relationship, you know, whether it's overtly choosing or whether it's subtly choosing or making the subtle corrections to keep choosing. I really feel it needs to be there, because I've also been in situations where you try and make the relationship work and the other person just isn't interested. And it can be a bit like you're flogging a dead horse, you know, it it can be even more heartbreaking because you're trying to do everything to make the relationship work. You're trying to overcompensate. You're trying to change. You're trying to learn how to be single in the relationship. You're trying to go, oh, well, I can just do other things and keep the relationship going. And, you know, that can serve some people because of certain circumstances. And, you know, we all make choices for the best that we can. You know, I get that. But, you know, there has to be, I believe, an element where both parties are choosing the relationship and making it work. Because if there isn't both partners doing that, it's a relationship which turns into kind of, I guess, a stalemate relationship where that exchange, that deeper, because relationship is about two people. You have to choose. Yourself, you have to choose your partner, you have to choose to make it work.
But I do find sometimes though, Vanya, like especially for situations where both people may not necessarily really know who they are, they're still kind of figuring themselves out. I do think that sometimes the ego clash right? And both are at stalemate because neither one wants to give. Mm-hmm. But I do see that when one person decides to make the change and start to take ownership and responsibility and accountability for the, you know, the situation that the relationship is in.
Totally.
Then, like you said, every situation is a little bit different. And I think that, you know, we'd have to look at the situation and see if, I mean, either which way, right? If you choose to work on yourself and take that ownership and responsibility, it's going to work out for you. Yeah. Now, whether your partner is going to, you know, come along with you or not, well, maybe that we cannot control, but at least you're moving in the right direction. So I'm a firm believer of that.
Totally. There's this beautiful saying, you know, you heal the part within yourself that you want to heal in the relationship. And that's where that, like you're saying, that shift and that change takes place. If you've noticed there's a part in the relationship which isn't working, heal that issue within yourself to make that exchange shift between you and your partner.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Now, you have written about or talked about the four vital keys to returning a relationship back to love.
Yeah.
So since this is something you've done, you know, you've mastered, conquered, you know, you've walked your way back in your relationship. So tell me about these vital keys, or what can we share with our listeners to help them make this journey back to themselves a little easier?
Yeah, absolutely. I think number one is definitely communication. Are you able to communicate? Are you able to communicate your needs? Are you able to communicate your truth? And most importantly around communication is, can your partner hear and listen you? And that's vice versa. Can they communicate their truth and their needs? And can you listen to that? And can you do that in a way where you don't become defensive, where you don't enter back into the blame game, where you don't get reactionary, where you don't create the drama, where, you know, all that? Can you listen and hear without, in a very receptive way, where both partners are able to hear each other, and then from that space find a solution that works for both people, all right? Because, you know, that is what relationship is all about. It's like, how can we find a solution that works for both of us? How can we find a solution that helps both of us evolve and grow? And the thing about relationships is that we're dealing ultimately with two people that on very, very deep levels, fundamentally different, you know, very different, fundamentally different. There are no two souls alike, you know. So, yes, we might be compatible in a lot of areas, but there you will come across areas where there is a deep incompatibility. That's just the nature of a soulmate exchange, because it's through that deep incompatibility that you learn a lot of virtues of love. You learn to communicate. You learn to compromise. You learn to tolerate. You learn to stand in your truth. You learn to be courageous. All those things come from that place of being deeply incompatible. But the beauty and the growth comes from where you can communicate where there is incompatibility, hear it, learn from it, create a solution, and both of you awaken to a new place, which allows the relationship to evolve in its compatibility. So, you know, that's a really important place.
So Vanya, in essence, it's the communication that will take an incompatibility into a space of creating compatibility.
Yeah.
Like totally. it's almost the communication is the key or the missing ingredient, that once we work that into the relationship, what may have seemed incompatible can very well find compatibility.
Totally. Now, the only problem is that we don't get taught how to communicate properly. So it can be a very big journey of you learning to communicate. So in the beginning, it can be very like mismatched and da, 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 but eventually you both learn how to communicate with each other. So it's something that you've got to keep choosing again and again to master it. But yeah, totally. Because it's only through that you really understand why there is a difference, or why that person feels that way, or why that person thinks that way, or why that person would want you to be like this. You know, so then you get understanding. And when there's understanding, that's that place of understanding, or that's where the person is, or that's why I'm feeling that. And if there is understanding of not only your experience but their experience, and combining that together, it gives you a bigger oversight of the landscape of what's going on between you. And then, because you're both beautiful, evolved people that want love, harmony, and peace, you're going to try and find the solutions to recreate, you know, or to make more compatible or more flow or whatever you wanna do. So communication is super key. And really, communication is key for everything. Our work colleagues, to direct them to do things. You know, if you were to be a leader, communication is key. So it's actually a really vital human skill to learn to communicate well. And unfortunately, we're not all taught that. So it's something that you're going to have to learn, to listen to craft, to master. You know, it's definitely a skill. The other thing which is super important is just letting people have the space to be themselves. You know, we can, especially if there's a lot of ego going on, we can want our partner to be this or look this way or do things that way, or why didn't they get us this on Valentine's, or why haven't they bought us this bag, or they're not doing it this way, or they're not doing it right. And we can get into this real place of, you know, over focusing on them and how they're treating us, as opposed to taking a little bit of separation and really just focusing on the self and focusing on your own needs and supplying your own needs first, so that your partner can gift you with some extra things, so that you're not demanding so much stuff from them, but you're actually supplying that for yourself. You're filling up your own holes inside of you, as opposed to expecting someone else to fill up your holes inside of you. Now, that could be that you need to work on yourself and work on how to love yourself. That could be that you have to work on your drama with your father that corrupts your connection with men. Whatever, that could be part of that returning back to the self, reflecting, healing, filling yourself up, so that when your partner is in your life and interacting with you, they just gift you with more, as opposed to trying to fill those holes up inside of you. So that's really important that both partners do that as well. And the other thing which is super important is that touch, physical affection, silence, communication, eye gazing, kissing, hugging, holding are really super important to calm both systems down. But it creates a lot of exchange of energy without us using our words or our thoughts, which can get in the way a lot of the times. And so just having that deep silence where you just touch and connect and hold and embrace, a lot of other deeper soul communication can take place, which can indirectly create a lot of healing in other areas of the life, your life. So, you know, they're definitely the points that we need to master to master a relationship. And they're really quite easy things to do. And, you know, and I go back to these different points often at different times to work through stuff or to shift stuff.
I get the whole concept of sort of giving yourself what you need instead of expecting other people to give it to you. And I think people often fall into that trap of demanding mm-hmm. it from other people. And mm-hmm. usually, like, if we didn't get it from our mother or our father, love, nurturing, safety, attention, mm-hmm. we mm-hmm. almost grow up, right, Vanya, sort mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. demanding it from other mm-hmm. people and then being angry that they aren't able to give it to us because we already decided or mm-hmm. we learned in our childhood that ultimately nobody was going to give it to us. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we create these pitfalls which get, you know, connected to expectations and obligations. And then there's a lot of that anger and blame. And then you're kind of stuck in really the muck, in the mud, as you said earlier. And I think that when we realize that we have everything within us, it's all there, mm-hmm. you know, and if we can only give it to ourselves, then what we can get from our partners is, you know, everything else on top. Like you said, it's the bonus. It's yeah. the, you know, it's what you can appreciate about them mm-hmm. because it's mm-hmm. not expected anymore. It's exactly. almost like, wow, I value this and I appreciate this because I didn't start off saying that, you know, you're supposed to give this to me or, yeah. you know, I demand this of you because, you know, we got married and it says on a piece of paper that you owe me these things. Mm-hmm. So I think that I can completely relate to that. And I've worked with a lot of people. In fact, as recently as today and yesterday, I've actually worked with people with similar sessions, as I'm sure you've worked with a lot of women with a similar type of situation. So I do love that you said that. And also the idea about touch. I just put up on a post today how, you know, touch is one of the most fundamental ways of connecting with the people we love. You know, from the time we are a baby, you know, now we understand touch therapy and holding skin to skin contact, and how, you know, little babies that are in incubators, they just fare much better when they're touched, mm-hmm. when they're held, the heartbeat. And so I think that as we've become adults, we've sort of lost touch with the simplest way of connecting with each other, which is human touch, you know, which is even kind of like one of my favorite things to do with my husband. We used to be just kind of lie on his chest and hear his heartbeat. And that is such a, you know, such a normal, simple thing to do, but it's so intimate for me. You know, it's like I'm literally hearing his soul. I'm hearing what's going on in his body. And I think that we forget how beautiful these things are. And I think, you know, getting this reminder from you, I think it's like a wake-up call for people that this is kind of, go back to this, you know, yeah. Don't forget that this is where energy get exchanged. This is where the power comes from. Amazing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, always go back to basics. Always go back to basics.
So to recap, Vanya, so there was communication. Mm-hmm. There was touch. Mm-hmm. There was the second one that you mentioned was being able to give yourself what mm-hmm. you're asking of others. So sort of fulfilling yourself. Mm-hmm, I guess that would also be like self-love.
Mm-hmm, right?
And
absolutely.
Fourth one, what would be the fourth key?
The fourth key, you know, I believe is creating your culture together, you know, creating the things that you do together, creating a life together because love is all about experiencing, you know. We want to be able to experience that sunset with someone. We want to be able to experience, you know, going to a restaurant and eating, I don't know, some very interesting dish we've never had before. We want to be able to experience life. You know, this is what having a relationship is all about, is that you get to share life with somebody. And are we sharing enough life with them? Are we just flopping down in the front of the television exhausted? Are we caught up in the same routine every day and just getting bored and complacent, you know? And so we really need to learn to share life, share. It could be so many different things. It could be sharing. One of our favorite things to do, it's so simple, but every year we go through the best photographs of the year that have ever been taken out in the world. And we sit there and we talk and we look at them and we share those moments. And, you know, it's simple. It can be done so easily, but it's sharing life, you know. Oh, he likes this. I like that. Oh, isn't that interesting? Or, you know, sharing life. That's super important. That's where the romance takes place. That's where the fulfillment happens. And that's where you start to create a beautiful life together, because that's what you want at the end of the day. It's an experience. So are you sharing enough beautiful experiences? And are you making those experiences a little bit more interesting? You know, you can cook dinner, right? Or you could cook dinner in your high heels and have a different experience with your partner. Do you know, there's ways of just amping it up a little bit. And it can be so simple, but it makes a different dynamic. And that's where the flirt can happen, or the exchange, or, you know, so we need to really dive into that as well.
And so what you're really talking about is connecting with each other mm-hmm. through these shared experiences, you know, through these moments that we're literally like bringing to life together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where our values sort of start to come from. You know, we know kind of what we stand for as a couple, what is important to us. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like, again, things that we should be doing, but I think we get carried away with our lives, that we forget that we need that nurturing.
Absolutely.
All right, Vanya. So before we get into the juicy part of the podcast, can we take a quick break so I can tell you guys about some of the other shows on our network? Hey, beautiful people. Before we head on to the rest of the episode, I'm sure some of you are wondering how we collab with brands here in Project Loving Myself. And for that, we use Podmetrics. So if you have a podcast, sign up now at podmetrics.co and use the code Project Loving Myself. That's one word, capital P, capital L, capital M. And in that way, you can help support my show as well. And if you are an advertiser who wants to collab with Project Loving Myself, head on over to advertiser.podmetrics.co and fill up the form. Again, that's Podmetrics, the easiest way to monetize your podcast. So tell me about your book. Mm-hmm. Vania, tell me about Sacred Revolution. Now, I'm guessing part of what was going on in your relationship or that journey got translated or sort of reflected into this book. Mm-hmm. Again, I'll repeat the title of the book. It's Sacred Revolution, mm-hmm. A Woman's Path to Love, Power, and Sensual Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm quoting, this is a woman's book of sensual enlightenment, a sacred revolution that returns her body, heart, sexuality, and power back to love. So what's the story behind this?
Yeah, wow. This story is, you know, after working with so many people, most of them women, most of them all suffering with heartbreak, most of them unable to love themselves or struggling with eating disorders or comparison or jealousy or all the other stuff that goes with that. That combined with this amazing sexual awakening I had in the relationship, combined with having a daughter and like getting pregnant and feeling in awe with the female body, combined with my own love story with my husband, kind of created the book. And it's really a journey where a woman learns to fall in love with herself so much that she becomes her own soulmate, where she chooses to love herself more than anybody else can, which kind of touches on what we were talking about before. It's also a journey where a woman claims her sexual energy as a sacred force, not where she gives it away or doesn't know what to do with it. It's she learns to transcend it up through the body and merge it with the deep love that she has inside of herself to feel stronger inside, to be able to be more magnetic. You know, the sexual energy, once it moves through you, it brings this presence and this magnetism to you, and it just makes you feel a lot stronger and wholer inside. It's a book where I go into the depths of love, what love is, how to increase self-love. I look at helping the lotus transcend from her mud, which is all the emotions that come up that we need to shift and clear. And then, you know, once a woman starts to step into her own power, her own sexual power, her own ability to love herself, she's her own soulmate, then she can enter into a relationship. And so the second half of the book is really about the different soulmate experiences you can have, because I really feel we do have many different soulmate experiences to master love, to learn love, to help us shift and heal. And I just felt a lot of women didn't understand how to navigate through relationships. I think there's a list of about 20 plus soulmate experiences you can have, just so women can understand that, oh, what I just had was a fling. What I just had was, oh, that was an abusive relationship. Oh, that was that type of relationship. And, you know, once you become aware of this, you can identify the potential of the relationship before you even enter into it. So it's also helping women to navigate through relationships. They don't get their heart broken unnecessarily. Or they also know when to leave a relationship if it's not working or whatever, particularly, you know, before you have children, it's another game, it's another story. And then it goes into having sensual enlightening experiences with other people, how to unlock the puzzles of love, and then how to step into your power as a woman and the different powers we have as a woman who comes from the depths of love. So it's been a very beautiful journey for me to write this book. And I just hope women who read it, they just fall in love with them, and that it recircuits their minds and their bodies to stabilize love inside of them and to start re-experiencing their sexual energy as a sacred force. So yeah, it really is a book of love, you know, and from that space so much more other magical things can happen. So yeah, that's what that book is. It's got lots of little stories dotted through it, and yeah.
I like the part where you talked about how our sexual energy is something we have to kind of claim or reclaim, mm-hmm. and that it's a sacred life force that can mm-hmm. be used, mm-hmm. you know, to create, to manifest, and so on. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, Vania? Yeah. There are some different modalities that also kind of explore this concept of sex as being a vital energy that can be channeled, can be used, mm-hmm. Sacred fuel of, you know, empowerment and attraction. I know you said that in your book. So can you delve into that concept a little bit deeper?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't, number one is we don't realize it's a sacred force. You know, we get caught in that, you know, we use it for intimacy, or maybe your sexual energy is all wrapped up in shame or guilt, or you shouldn't use it, or maybe it's too wild and you don't know what to do with it. We've got all different relationships to it, but you know, once you learn to pull that sexual life force up to your sacral chakra, solar plexus, heart, throat, crown, it creates new experiences in the body. You know, when I look at it energetically, I see sexual energy like this scaffolding, which really holds the energy of the body up. And it also helps to help you to expand your energy out. And it also brings you into present time. So it has this very present kind of energy. It makes you feel very present when you use it through the body. When I've seen women bring their sexual energy up to their stomachs, they tend to get less hungry because they're actually using more of their energy inside of them. Sugar cravings tend to, you know, release, so just on that level. When I've seen women bring their sexual energy up to their heart, that's where that divine inner marriage takes place and they become their own soulmate. When I've seen it come up to their throat, they have this greater ability to speak their truth, because for a long time, women have been silenced, you know, silenced from a lot of things. And just having it return back here can be very liberating, to be able to speak your truth, but to be able to say it with power and conviction and have your truth respected back. When I've seen the sexual energy come up to the head area, it just helps women have, and anybody really, just feel stronger in their own mind, so that you're not collapsing into self-doubt or collapsing into worry. It just brings this deeper life force strength. And then I've seen it come out and connect to the universe to create like antennas and connections to all of life, so that you can have that experience of oneness or life making love to you, or that dynamic love affair with life. So it has many different roles, you know, as it keeps evolving and transcending. It obviously brings more presence. It kind of lights you up a little bit more, and it's very attractive. It's a very magnetic energy. It can create a lot of attraction. You can also use it to create, because let's face it, that energy creates children. So you can harness that energy to manifest as well. So there's many aspects to it when you let it exist in different parts of your body.
I do believe that sexual energy is sometimes the charisma that we feel with, you know, people who have these very magnetic personalities. But also, just to clarify, so that sexual energy is the energy coming in from our sacral or sex chakra, is that correct?
Yep. So you'll feel it as an energy in the sexual palace. So that could, you know, the whole female part there or the male part there. It could feel like, you know, on a like more of a physical level, it could feel more an arousing force or an energy or an electric kind of energy. As it starts to transcend, it kind of changes its quality through the different chakras and stuff like that. But, you know, it's, you've also got lots of erogenous zones in the body which store sexual energy. So there are many techniques where you can bring the sexual energy up to these different erogenous zone points in your body to bring you that magnetic presence as well.
Can you give us an example of how we would bring this sexual energy up? Is this a breathing technique? Is it a certain practice? Is there a variety of different ways to do so? Just so we can make it a little bit more tangible for our listeners.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, in my book, I explain about the blossoming techniques, because I really feel like when the sexual energy moves through the body, it blossoms you. It blossoms your inner soul to come out into the world. So there's this very beautiful blossoming energy. And some of the things that you can do is breath and intentional breath. So you can breathe into your sexual palace, and then on the exhale, breathe out. You could breathe into the sexual energy, send that breath all the way to the heart, and on the exhale, breathe the sexual energy out the heart. So it can be a combination of breath and intention. So inhaling down to the sexual palace and visualizing all the sexual energy coming up to the heart, and then exhaling it out of the heart. So you can use that. Movement too will help move the sexual energy through the body. You see in a lot of belly dancing, you get these kind of undulation movements, which is like wave movements. But that, if you get in that, you'll actually notice that your life force rippling through you, moving through you. So you can actually, with intention, pull the sexual energy through the body through movement and dance and things like that. You can also add in some smiling and some shining. There's some other little things you could do as well.
So there are different practices, essentially, or techniques of sort of harnessing this energy and having it move through the body that allows us to then do something with that energy, whether it's, you know, comes out as charisma or comes out, as you mentioned, you know, different parts of our body, we can use these energies, you know, to create or to speak our truth or so on. And would you say any of this is connected to sort of Tantra, the discipline of Tantra, or what are the influences to some of your beliefs about, you know, how we can work with sexual energy?
Yeah. So I had a fascination of going back as far as I could with healing modalities, because I was like, wow, you know, a lot of stuff's happened over time, consciousness, people, conditioning, blah, blah. Let me go back as far as I can to discover the truth of what life was like for people and their healing, the body and stuff like that. And it brought me back to Taoism.
Yeah.
And so that's where a lot of my deeper experience with working with just those raw life forces in the body has come from. And yeah, so, you know, there is the tantric path. I've delved into it a little bit, but it hasn't been my path of discovery. I kind of went back more to Taoist because I felt it had more of a, what's the right word to use? It was quite clear and matter of fact, if that makes sense. You do this, right. You do that. It's quite structured. There's a good process. You claim this energy. You know, it didn't go into philosophy or this or that, because I just wanted to try and get back to the most purest thing I could to understand how the mechanics of the body work. Because also what I was trying to do is, after I had this amazing sexual liberation awakening in the rainforest, I had my baby. I had a cesarean, and that literally cut my sexual energy down. I collapsed, and, you know, I had to rebuild myself back up again, because, hey, I wanted to experience that awakening on a day-to-day basis. That was amazing. That was the state of energy I wanted to maintain. And as the universe has it, sometimes it crashes you down, so you learn to rebuild yourself back up again. And so that's where, you know, I went back more to the Taoist techniques. And then through my own experience of healing, my own experience of my own body, you know, is where you recreate it in a new way for this modern world. So yeah, that's been the journey with it.
So I have two questions about mm-hmm. sort of sexual energy that really are pressing. So I've read that sexual energy can be channeled in mm-hmm. the way that you've described, but when we are having sex with another person, we disperse that energy, or we kind mm-hmm. of, we release the energy through the sexual act mm-hmm. and nothing gets done with that energy. Mm-hmm. So do you share that same belief that it's kind of like the sexual energy has to be used within our body and channeled for mm-hmm. a certain purpose, or when we're having sex with our partner, let's say, we're essentially losing that energy in the act of sex, or we're dissipating it or releasing it, and then we don't do anything with it. And mm-hmm. I can't remember where, because I used to do a little bit of reading on Taoism as well. I read a lot of Osho, who mm-hmm. Talks a lot about, you know, Tantra, and also in Hinduism, in the sort of the Indian religion, mm-hmm. there is the idea of the Kama Sutra, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of influences on sort of sexuality and spirituality coming from the Kama Sutra as well. So what are your thoughts about that, Vanya?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think number one is that we don't really know what to do with our sexual energy. So we kind of usually enter into relationships when we're young, we don't really know, or neither of us really knows what to do. So we just do what we do. And then yes, unconsciously it gets dispersed and stuff like that. I think, you know, as you learn to let your sexual energy transcend, for a woman, when she does make love to her partner, the way that the orgasmic experience can be, it's no longer localized in the genitals, but it you can have orgasms out your ears, out your head, out your fingertips, out your body, full body, soul orgasms, the whole bit. And through that, what you're doing is you're letting your partner's sexual energy ignite the love force within you to exist. So that can be one thing that you can do. And another thing is that where we can gift our sexual energy as a woman to our partner as well for their own healing or things like that. But really, you know, if we get away from, and yes, you can use sexual energy to be focused intention and there's sex magic and all that thing. But I think, you know, in the most beautiful sense of lovemaking, there's a really beautiful space where you exchange the depths of you, where you gift your energy to them, they gift their energy to you. And on that level, you're kind of feeding each other, you're kind of nurturing each other, you're kind of helping to complete the other person. And so really, you know, moving into the mindset of gifting the other person with your energy, but also for the other person to know how to receive it as well. And both partners can do that at the same time, which is what lovemaking is, you know?
And I think, Vanya, that's the difference between sex, mm-hmm. as in two people having sex and two people making love.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of that's what's coming to mind now, that sometimes, and, you know, for a lot of people when they're younger, they're experimenting and they're having different sexual partners, not necessarily because there is any emotional or spiritual connection, but simply because of exploration. Mm-hmm. So I think in those kind of situations, is a very different use of the sexual energy.
Totally.
But I think when there is a deeper emotional,
mm-hmm.
and even spiritual connection between, mm-hmm. two people, when they are having sex, they are making love. And I think that's where the sharing of that sexual energy can really sort of blossom, or it can really sort of transcend beyond just, you know, the physical, mm-hmm, exchange, mm-hmm. that is taking,
mm-hmm.
place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of makes sense to me. And the other question that I had for you is, you mentioned after your C-section, you felt your sexual energy was just cut,
mm-hmm.
right? And, mm-hmm. so I think a lot of women find that happening after giving birth,
mm-hmm.
When there's been betrayal in a relationship, if there's been some kind of trauma in their past, something, you know, to do with their own sexual experiences or trust being broken, there's, I'm sure, a variety of different circumstances that would affect or influence a person's sexual energy from being expressed,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we identify, how does one identify when that has happened, when that sexual energy is just defunct,
mm-hmm,
firstly,
mm-hmm.
and secondly, mm-hmm. how does one, again, find their way back from that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really good questions. You know, sometimes it's a combination of first moving through healing process, like healing the abuse, healing the brokenness, you know, going through that process of actually healing and unlocking the minds and the emotions from things, so that you return back just to the beautiful physical natural force of your body. You know, when there is trauma, when there is abuse, when there is stuff that's happened, the natural states of the body get clogged and twisted and cluttered and fractured and all those things. So there is that process of healing just to return back to that natural space. Like in my case with the cesarean, I had to do a lot of work to heal the meridian lines. I also had to do a lot of work because I felt like having the cesarean broke my heart in two, because I couldn't give birth to my daughter. I couldn't have that rite of passage. So I felt deeply, deeply heartbroken. So there was a very deep heartbreak inside of me as well. I had to go through healing that first. And then once we get the body back, or the sexual energy back to its just natural state, then we have to go on that process of training it to start moving, or to training it to exist. You know, some women have low libidos. Maybe you're needing to have more, you know, and there's a hormone imbalance which is stopping the sexual life force from existing. So that needs to be addressed. For other women, you know, it's going through moving techniques or blossoming techniques to help move it up through the body. So remember, the sexual energy is such a physical force that it really does need physical healing. You know, yes, we need to heal emotionally, mentally, but the sexual life force needs more of that physical healing, like herbs, nutrition, right body stuff, keeping the body healthy, movement exercises, blossoming exercises, which are much more physical to cultivate it. So that needs to be understood. But the things that women could feel if they felt their sexual energy was collapsed, they might feel lethargic, they might feel unbeautiful. Like, just that, you know, when someone's made love to you and afterwards you just feel beautiful, you feel like, oh, I just feel beautiful because you've been filled with the sexual energy, and it just makes you feel beautiful and it gives you a glow. You know, if you're not feeling that normally by yourself, that means you're not letting your own sexual energy give you your own glow, you know? So if you're feeling ugly, if you're feeling deflated, if you're feeling shrunk inside, you know, all these things can be indicators that you really need to start cultivating the sexual energy to be a sacred force.
I think a key thing from what you said was that it's something from within you. And, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are under that misconception that sexual energy is kind of like sexual attraction, and so, mm-hmm. it depends on the other person. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with people who think that, oh, they're just not attracted to their partner. And that's why, you know, perhaps that sexual energy is not being expressed, or maybe, you know, they aren't attracted to certain behaviors of their partner, or kind of the focus is the other person. But mm-hmm. I like what I'm hearing from you, which is, it's not really something that depends on the external circumstance. It's more of a feeling mm-hmm. within your own self. You know, it's an mm-hmm. energy that is entirely yours. You almost don't need another person mm-hmm. to kind mm-hmm. of awaken or trigger mm-hmm. or, you know, kind of bring out that sexual energy. It's something that has a lot to do with sort of body-mind mm-hmm. energy. Right. Yeah. In terms of, because you mentioned eating well, sleeping well, hormonal balance, you know, you talked a little bit about movement exercises. So what I'm getting from that is this is really something that is entirely about you. And perhaps we need to recognize that first mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. before we start thinking it has anything to do with our circumstance or our partner or, you know, other things.
Yeah. Totally. And that's an important mindset shift for all of us to make, because once we recognize it's truly dependent upon our own choice, that's where the empowerment takes place. That's when you're like, actually, I'm the empowered one here. I'm empowered to make a change. I'm empowered to make my body feel better. And through that process, you just get, it just teaches you to be more empowered or powerful in other areas of your life. It's like, oh, actually, I do have the ability to speak up and speak to this family member who's doing the wrong thing. Actually, I do have a deeper power or energy inside of me that gives me a life force to go and create or whatever. So by just doing this basic thing of empowering your own sexual energy, of choosing to love yourself first, of cultivating all of this, it's going to give you so much more strength for other areas of your life to move into power. So, yeah.
It sounds amazing. Tell me, Vanya, how do people get their hands on your book? If they want to read more about this, if they want to kind of explore mm-hmm. a little bit more.
Yeah. So you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on the Book Depository. You can get it. If you get lost, you can go via my website because some countries don't sell it. So we can go via my website and get in contact and we can work out how to get that to you. It's available on Kindle, paperback, hardback, you know, it's got all the different versions of how you can read it. And so, it's totally available around the world. So, but yeah, Book Depository is very good. If you, it will actually deliver to most places around the world.
Yeah, I think most people here would get it from Amazon via Kindle. Yeah. So yeah. That would be probably the easiest. We are at the end of our episode, Vanya, mm-hmm. and it's been a very enlightening conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think, enjoyed.
Me too. Really, it's kind of like a meeting of two minds. Mm-hmm. I resonated with so much of what you said, and it's really nice for me to speak to another Theta healer halfway mm-hmm. across the world.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, you know, we've been on our own journey, but so much of our journey is actually very similar. Mm-hmm. And I think we can both attest to the fact that Theta Healing has really been a big part of that. So it's so nice to connect with someone who really speaks my language yeah. and kind of looks at things from a very similar perspective. I love the fact that we've been able to get together. You know, you're coming, you're tuning in, you're calling in from the UK, I'm here in the Philippines, and we can talk about things that really are relevant mm-hmm. to women, wherever mm-hmm. they're listening from, yeah. you know, in the world, which is beautiful. And I think that too is kind of a form of sexual energy when women are getting together and sort of opening up conversations mm-hmm. That will spark that creativity in other people's minds. Before we leave, I would love to hear your Project Loving Myself mantra mm-hmm. or message for our listeners. So I usually ask my guests to, you know, perhaps share their message for our listeners, something about self-love, something you've learned that you'd like to impart to others. Mm-hmm. So if you wouldn't mind giving mm-hmm. us a little bit from your point of view.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've done lots of things. All this, you know, waking up, sexual love, you know, we've talked about all of that. But I think one of the things which I'm diving more and more into lately is just how do I make ordinary moments more extraordinary? How do I make the everyday that more magical, that more special, that more creative? How do I bring a little bit more dynamic stuff? How do I mix it up a little bit? How can I, you know, because at the end of the day, life can be a little bit boring and routiney, you know, especially in this pandemic. It just feels like Groundhog Day every day. So mm-hmm. I've been really like everything I do, I just take a little bit of extra moment to go, how can I make this a little bit better? How can I make this a bit more extraordinary? What energy can I go into this to have a new experience of it? And what that's taught me is it's taught me to be much more dynamic with life. It's taught me to find a lot more joy in places where I wouldn't have found joy. It's taught me to laugh more, to create more. So that's what I'd like to gift everyone with. And it could be as simple, like I said, wearing high heels while you're cooking. I did that for Christmas. Made such a difference to the meal, like how I was in the meal and enjoying it. It could be playing music. It could be drinking water out of a champagne glass. It doesn't matter. It's just making the ordinary more extraordinary. And yeah, smelling roses when you walk down the street, being in love with life. Like it's that feeling. So yeah, that's where my vibe is at the moment, because why not? Why not have a whole new relationship to reality and life, you know, whether it's talking and having a beautiful conversation with someone on the bus and not being shy and closed down, you know, things like that. Yeah. So that's where I'm interested at exploring and developing at the moment.
I love it. It sounds so magical and just so much more, I don't know. It's just, it's like you're really bringing your life out. You know, and you're just kind of bringing every moment into your life, you know. It sounds beautiful. So much thank you for playful. Sharing more playful, you know. It's like a little bit of fairy dust or magic, you know, it added into everything. So I love it. And thank you for sharing that with all of us. Vania, thank you again.
Thank for you.
Your time, your energy, and for all your love. I know our listeners will probably want to get in touch with you or to follow you. If you can share your socials.
It's very simple. You just type my name in, Vania Silverton. So it's the same on Instagram, Vania Silverton. It's Silverton with an E-N, not an O-N. So yeah, you can come hang out with me on Instagram. On Facebook, I do an energy clearing once a month on the first Wednesday of every month. So you can come hang out with me there if you like, or just go to vaniasilverton.com. I've got lots of free resources, free goodies. I've got a beautiful free online course called Rebirth into Love, which, you know, after listening to this podcast, you might want to do. But yeah, just my name and you'll find me.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing this. And honestly, guys, you know, if you haven't already figured out her energy, there's just so much love exuding, so much sort of like positive energy. And I think that you're going to really love some of the things that she does. And definitely the book, I think, is going to be a great springboard for a lot more to come. So definitely check her book out on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle, and let us know, you know, let us know what you think. Put this up on your Insta stories. If there's anything that caught your eye, anything that sounded interesting, share it. You know, let's get this going. Let's share what we've learned with other people. And that's how I think energy moves across the world.
Totally agree. More love, more connection, more joy.
Absolutely. So that was interesting, right? I think there was a lot to learn from Vania. And it's especially nice to have a healer on the podcast because you can really feel a difference in energy. There was definitely a sense of calm and peace that settled in. And that normally happens when you're in the presence of a healer. Let me know if you felt it too. Share your thoughts on Facebook, on Instagram, on Insta stories. And don't forget to tag at Project Loving Myself Podcast and tag me too at Sanaya Gurnamal. Now for our Project Loving Myself quote for this week. When the sexual energy of the people is liberated, they will break the chains. And that's a quote by Julian Beck. I really sort of resonated with this because Vania talked a lot about how, you know, when we can cultivate that sexual energy, when we can harness it, we can really sort of free ourselves from the limitations that we put on ourselves, that we can use our voice, that we can use our heart. And so I think that sexual energy is something we really have to learn to recognize and to share that out to the world. So thank you for joining me on this episode where we have delved deep into our sexual energy and the power that it holds in our life on the Project Loving Myself podcast, brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and powered by Podmetrics. I'll see you on the next episode, and don't forget, you are loved.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.